I don't know. That's just what pedestrian, average, mediocre receivers do. What's up? What's up? My man Deion Sanders, we all right, huh? We all right? Yeah, we all right. We gonna go to the Super Bowl again, being all right.
You're listening to the Pedestrian Podcast, the official UK podcast for the Seattle Seahawks. Here are your hosts, Ross Bell, Stuart Court, and Adam Nathan. Go Hawks!
Welcome back. This is the Pedestrian Podcast, the official podcast for the UK Seahawkers. We are back at it once again. Myself, Stuart Court, this week. It is just a two-man show. The Garfunkel to my Simon is Mr. Adam Nathan. How are we, sir?
I am good. I think this is... it's worth pointing out that this podcast may never reach the ears of anyone because we don't really know what we're doing.
No.
We're trying to record it, and I sort of feel that when the Earth is destroyed by global warming or a meteor hits, and as people do and find the lost city of Pompeii, in the future, there may be a time where they find the lost episode of the Pedestrian Podcast.
Yeah, this.
I can only hope if that does happen in 3,000 years' time or whatever. You know, I hope Spurs have won the league by then, and there's a nice lineage of Nathans. Apart from that, I hope you're all well.
Yeah, this Lord Lucan and Shergar will be the only things that survive. On this week's pod, we'll go over the moves the Seahawks have made and some of those they didn't. Look ahead to the draft, which is edging ever closer, which is very good. And also get some of your questions as well as another round of true or false. But to kick it off, a few chapter notes. The 2017 national meet is booked and pretty much paid for now. And we need more numbers as we would like to beat the attendance from 2016. To get involved, follow the pin post on the Facebook group and find it up on ukseahawkers.com. All it costs to be involved is £5, which still counts as something somewhere, maybe. Those involved are working to make it a good night. And if it helps, the chances of you coming in, Adam won't be there. So, but yeah, just get involved.
Hopefully I'll be drinking champagne out the FA Cup with a little bit of luck.
but just one step at a time, Adam. But anyway, shall we gather ganders at free agency? The Seahawks.
Let's.
Were relative bystanders early doors, to which many reacted really calmly to. I think you agree, Adam.
Yep.
Offensive tackle seemed to be the panic button league-wide, with mental money just being delivered to average players. For example, Matt Khalil now has $25 million guaranteed. Unbelievable. But the Seahawks then did make a move, and even that wasn't good enough for some. Former Jacksonville Jaguars lineman and former number 2 overall pick, Luke Jokel, was signed to a one-year, fully guaranteed $8 million deal. Jokel did struggle in his first couple of years in the league, but a decent 2015 and a good start to 2016 before injury showed some promise. He is likely to play at left tackle or left guard in Seattle, and all for it on the face of it. Adam, you?
Yeah, I think you could probably say that about the whole class, to be honest. I think it's a class that you're going to have to evaluate maybe halfway through the season and see if it's working out. Because in theory, you've strengthened your offensive line with two players. You've signed a running back who, at his best, could be a top five running back in the league. You've strengthened the secondary. You've got a couple of linebacker in, all of whom who could play a role if it all goes well. But then conversely, there's a reason why we haven't really signed anyone to serious money. And you could argue that's because they're not great. Yeah. So I think I'm finding it difficult to really be excited or disappointed, because I think basically everyone we've signed is on a prove it deal.
Yeah, most definitely. I think the thing with Jokel, you come back to, is you compare it to the money given to other players who he's either the same talent level, same quality as, or a little bit. He's not 18 million, 17 million worse than Matt Khalil in no one's world. But yeah, the move did come after the team basically didn't bother to tender Gary Gilliam a contract, and the big money purchases, as mentioned, were all sewn up. But the Seahawks weren't done. Next to join the group was this man.
This one floated from Lacy. He was left alone. Still on his feet. What a run. Touchdown!
Eddie Lacy, the former Green Bay Packers running back, signing a one-year deal with the best weight loss incentive on a deal ever, $300,000 if he hits certain weight during the year and during the season. We'd all like that bonus, wouldn't we, Adam?
Yeah, not bad. I mean, I'm not sure I've got as much weight to lose as Lacey has, to be honest, in the sort of dispensable weight category. But if that's what they're going to pay me to do, I'll give it my best shot.
So, what, past that though, what are your thoughts on Eddie Lacey? Of the obviously the four running backs, the top of the market, and the running back with Peterson, Charles, Lacey, and Murray. Of those four, the fact that it's Lacey of the four.
Well, I think we said on WhatsApp that I was quite keen to separate Charles into sort of his own category, sort of more as a passing down back, which I think he probably will become after a couple of injuries, and sort of look at it as a trio of Murray, Peterson, and Lacey. Now, Peterson, I have huge issues with both from a play perspective, and B, I find it a little bit strange that the team is so unwilling to, well, correctly, unwilling to pick up anyone who's had domestic violence issues with women, but then is happy to overlook Peterson's troubles with his kids. But that's maybe just a personal thing. So he was always out, really, for me. And I think Lacey has the highest upside. All in free agency, you may as well sign with higher ceiling as possible. And I think if Lacey can get his weight down, even to like playing at 240, he could be destructive.
Yeah, I agree. I think the sound clip you just heard a few seconds ago, the video to that is really impressive. He just bounces off people. You try to tackle him when you've had ProSize and Rules thunder and lightning past you. It's a pretty tantalising prospect to watch him play, but it is a case of... the one I wanted from the four was Latavius Murray, and obviously he's had surgery today. I wanted no part of Adrian Peterson or anything that he comes with. Jamal Charles, I think he's pretty much broken at this point. Eddie Lacy's got age, and he's got hopefully a chip on his shoulder that he's going to use to produce on the field and really give the Seahawks the running game that they didn't have last year and quite clearly desire. One of the other deals that came over the weekend with former Jets and Texans guard Ode Abushi signing on. Abushi seems a pretty solid if unspectacular player and seems a pretty nailed-on depth guy, Adam.
Yeah, I guess he's the Bradley Saul of this year's class, and I guess we just hope that he's a lot better than the Bradley Saul of this year's class.
That is one thing someone on Twitter pointed out with both, well, first off with Jokel and obviously with Abushi. Jokel and Abushi are a better duo of signings than Webb and Saul were 12 months ago, so the fact even that there's that bit of improvement on paper purely is... can only hopefully lead to improvement, can't it?
Yeah, I guess the question is, would you rather have Jokel and Lacey than potentially someone like TJ Lang, who, you know, I don't care what anyone says about him wanting to play at home, I'm pretty sure if you offered him more money than the Lions would by a couple of million, he would have taken it. I don't know. I mean, the good thing about having Lacey picked up is that maybe you don't need to focus on a running back in the draft, and you can really plug most of your picks into the defense side of the ball, which I think is probably what a team that has aspirations of being a top team needs to do. So I guess to that extent, you've maybe covered a position in the draft of need. But I wonder with a lot of these top linemen that have gone, players like Wagner, if maybe that money on one player will be better than split over two. But again, I just think it's something we're gonna find out later on into the season as opposed to now.
Yeah, I agree. And also, as we keep saying with Schneider and Matt Thomas and all the guys who do the deals, they are so forward-thinking that they probably quite clearly have their minds and eyes at Cam Chancellor, Jimmy Graham, Paul Richardson, and maybe even Jermaine Kearse, and that deal may have a question mark over it 12 months down the line as well. So, but yeah, I do think these two are better than what we signed last year. And the final arrival came yesterday on Wednesday with former Buccaneer defensive back, safety, cornerback, whichever, Bradley McDougal signing on a one-year deal again. I was quite impressed with this deal, and then I saw the money and I was really impressed with it, Adam.
Yeah, you always worry with these sorts of things if there's a reason why the team he was at aren't picking him up, and maybe what's that deal? But, you know, I guess the Seahawks had a pretty good record of rehabilitating players with issues like that, and almost it relished the challenge of doing things like that, probably Percy Harvin aside. So, yeah, I mean, on paper, another one of those deals that looks like a good one. And certainly that secondary and certainly the safety room there needed some rep experience, because as much as, you know, we hope that players like Terrell will get good, they don't really have the reps yet, and they just looked underplayed. So having someone like that, this in the room, can only help if someone does go down with an injury later on in the season.
Yeah, I think Terrell, Jaron Johnson and Carson McRae are all unrestricted free agents now. Bringing someone McDougall, who got nearly 80 tackles, a couple of interceptions, a fumble recovery last year, he's still 26, 27 as well. Again, he's at that age where he could be a contributor for 2 or 3 years at first year anyway, a relatively small price. But as you say, it's quite strange how the Buccaneers didn't look to keep him. It wasn't.
That's also why I wasn't that sold on Latavius Murray, because everything from a statistical point of view would suggest that he should be a no-brain pickup to most teams. Yeah. And to last as long as he did in free agency, there's got to be a personal issue there that's not it's this injury, yeah, that's worse than it seems.
Yeah, and also being a fantasy owner of Latavius Murray for a couple of years in different leagues, he's had a few concussions as well. I think he's at least missed time with 2, if not 3 concussions over the last 2 years, and that's always a concern of longevity. With that, obviously, got Chris Borland, had one in his rookie year and retired. So, but yeah, that I agree, that was a bit strange, especially the money he got as well, because really he was probably the one who's going to cash in. But as we'll get onto in a sec with the guys we've kept, the market at some positions was the complete opposite, polar opposite to that of the offensive lineman. It wasn't all arrivals.
I can't think of a year for a long time that sort of matched up free agency versus draft strength as much as this year. Yeah. It's really stark, isn't
it? Yeah, it most definitely is. When you see, as I keep saying, Khalil and Wagner, Riley Reiff, and even Menelik Watson got like $6 million a year. I did not see that coming for a guy who's had the injury issues he's had. It's all very strange. And obviously then you look at the draft nicks and they say, and there's basically no one worth drafting at the uncertain spots of the O-line after like the third round and things like that.
And you've got players like Mike Glennon getting $50 million and Josh McCown getting decent money as well. I mean, it's going to be a funny old draft,
yeah, if you need defence, this is a draft to hit, I think. But yeah, it wasn't all arrivals though. Stephen Hauschka left for Buffalo and threw a little bit of shade at the team on his way out. Brock Coyle joined fellow former Seahawk linebacker Malcolm Smith in San Francisco. And Brandon Williams left, most disappointingly, of course, left to join the Colts overflow in tight end room just yesterday. That is sarcasm. So, of those who left, are there any disappointments to see move to pastures new, Adam?
I think if you look at the money that Hauschka got, he didn't earn that contract here last year. And you have to be ruthless and say that we've probably done the right thing, in the sense that I can't remember the last time Hauschka hit a winning field goal. That's not a criticism of him, but our games just don't necessarily end that way. Obviously, he missed the ones that we really need him to hit this year, which was a black mark. But we don't seem to be involved in that many games. I mean, I can think of the Houston game and the Tampa Bay game, both in 2013, that came down to a winning field goal. But I can't think of any others apart from that. So I think the situation you're in now is probably, from a financial point of view, better off. And Brock Coyle will always be a little bit of a disappointment, because I think we were at his first starts due against Oakland in the Walter Jones game.
Yeah, I think that was. He's just, as I said to Ross, he's just a solid special teamer, and he's done what Chris Maragos did a few years ago and just cashed in and on being just a pure special teamer. As for Hauschka,
it is worth saying that you said this to Ross on another podcast he tried to record that also went
that
on yesterday.
Yeah.
Hence my monologue at the start of this show. Yeah. So, you know, God help us.
But yeah, well, for Hauschka, I think he's getting 3 times as much this year as we're giving to Blair Walsh. And as you say, the season he had, he didn't really deserve getting 3 times. So you see it come in when you saw the deal that Walsh got here, and they signed a kicker yesterday as well. But yeah, Brock Cole's just disappointing, because he just was always around, it seemed. Brandon Williams, well, yeah, who cares?
Another player to catch passes that the Colts didn't really need and are spending money on as opposed to spending in other areas. But, you know, the Gregson era lives on, if even in his absence. Kamar Aiken also being signed.
As Tenacious T, you said, this is just a tribute. But yeah, I don't think I missed any. But thoughts, you've given pretty much, but what thoughts on the overall Seahawks free agency?
Yeah, I'm not even going to bother trying to give it a grade because I think it could go from an A to a C very quickly. We did sign John Lunsford, the kicker, today. I guess it's just camp competition, yeah. Another body. Oh, and Arthur Brown, of course, as well.
Yeah. That is a name
I forgot. Things you hear, Arthur Brown could be a decent pickup.
Yeah, I think Arthur Brown is probably literally just going to, he might even take Brock Cole's number. I think that's such a like for like replacement. Arthur Brown was a second round pick, two picks before we took Christian Michael in 2013, and he was the pick before the Packers took Eddie Lacy as well. So that was a weird end of the second round of the draft. But yeah, and also they've got Gerald Hodges, former Niners linebacker, in on a visit. Ricky Jean-Francois, for the third year running, has come in for a visit and signed for a different team. So they're obviously not selling Seattle very well to him in the last few years. But yeah, a question from John Maxfield, and it is a good one. He posted on the Facebook group. What other free agent signing a team made would you have liked the Seahawks to make for the same terms, Adam?
Oh, God. I guess that's completely exclusive of any other deals that you've done.
Yeah.
It's really difficult to say because you look at the Andrew Whitworth deal, which is absolutely lunatic money, like lunatic money. But then conversely, you could say that his salary is just the increase in the salary cap that it's going to be in the next two or three years for potentially a guy that could stabilize your offensive line for 3 years. So I'm not saying I would have wanted that deal. I think it's too mad money. Obviously, Calais Campbell, we were talking about for a couple of months as a real player that we would have loved to have had. But that, it seemed fairly obvious from sort of the end of February onwards that going down the idea of the big free agent wasn't going to be the Seahawk way of doing things, which, you know, I guess is a shame. But the best teams don't do big things in free agency, let's be honest, unless you're the Patriots who just trade like it's going out of fashion. I'm pretty content with what we've done.
Yeah.
But again, the proof will very much be in the pudding.
Yeah, for me, I think it's Brandon Marshall. I think that's the deal, which I really like Brandon Marshall. I think he's one of my favourite non-Seahawk players. And there's a 2-year, 12 million.
I'm just not sure for that money he would have been worth it. I think he's lost a step.
Yeah, but just having that matchup threat on the field with Jimmy Graham and Doug Baldwin, obviously Tyler Lockett might not be back week one or might not be a full power, then it'll be I would like to see Brandon Marshall play for the Seahawks, and it's going to make it really hard for Eli Manning not to be very good next year with all those players he's got, especially if they go and get OJ Howard in the draft.
I'm sure he'll find a way.
Yeah, a few other members questions. Cameron Welsh on the Facebook group posted, what does the free agent signings mean for the draft strategy? Will I, Stuart Court, be endorsing the Sing for King campaign live on the pod? First part first, does it change anything, do you think, for the draft?
I certainly think it rules out us taking a running back particularly early, unless someone is there that was not expected. I mean, Dalvin Cook is being tipped to slide quite badly by the sounds of it, having a bad combine. I would still love to get McCaffrey, but I guess that's a side issue, especially as, he was doing wide receiver drills at Stanford Pro Day, but be still my beating heart. I can't imagine it. I think we're going to go defense heavy, heavy. And I think that's smart because on defense, you want these quick, hungry players. And on offense, you can have your skill guys.
Yeah, I think someone posted all the average ages of the team in offense and defense and different positions. And one of the oldest groups is the secondary. I think it's 27 and a half, I think.
I think it's about 3 years older.
Yeah, which is not old, but where it's the oldest part, it is the year probably to replenish the cupboard. And yes, Cameron, the Sing for King campaign is well underway. Mal Kiper, the occasional genius, mocking Kevin King to us at 26 in his latest mock. Was very welcome when I read that yesterday on my feed. But yeah, I think, as I've said, running back is that's going to be a late round 5th, 6th, 7th undrafted position. I don't think guard will be a guy we probably see, because obviously got Reese Oliambo still lurking around. Glowinski is just going to flitter probably left or right. Ifedi probably could still have a part to play at right as well. But yeah, I think running back will be, it's completely thrown off down the bottom of the list now. But places like linebacker still are a need. And as Adam said, all defences is very...
I think it'll be interesting to see if Cam Robinson and Kevin King are both still available at 26. I think that'll be a very interesting pick and see what the Seahawks do. I happen to not be completely sold on Cam Robinson. I know he's obviously a good player, but I just question if after the Ifedi mistake, and I'm going to say mistake from last year, taking him in the first round, I just wonder if, you know, you should be making the same mistake twice when you have got an almost certain game-changing player in King that you could take, who could come in straight away and perform.
Yeah, I agree. Cam Robinson is Ifedi. He is James Carpenter again. Please don't do that, Seattle. Please don't. Not at 26. He's Derek Henry of this year, I think, for me. Will Travers asks, we the O-line signings of Jokel and now Ibushi, do you see Jokel moving inside to fight it out with Glow or competing with Fant to lock down the blind side? Adam?
I have a sneaky feeling that Odhiambo is going to have more of a say on that left side than people are giving him credit for. I don't know why. But I thought he was decent last year. He obviously had the infamous stepping on Wilson's toes in Atlanta. But actually, if you look at the reason for that, he took a big step to the left, which, having played left guard and left tackle, is what he does. So, you know, maybe don't stick the guy on the right side of the offensive line might help you out. So I reckon Odhiambo could have something to say about that. So I'm not sure. It seems like a lot of money to pay for a guy who's not going to play tackle when you have such problems at tackle. But you know, God knows what these guys do. They're probably playing in the secondary before we know it.
Well, there's all the jokes about Lacey, weren't there, that he's only a few pounds light of being our right guard. So,
well, or play next to Ruben and instead of Quentin Jefferson.
But yeah, I think Jokel's likely going to be our left guard this year. I think Glowinski is going to be at right. I think Fanton, as Adam said, Odhiambo could be the guys at left, and then you just hope that if Eddie can find his feet, quite literally, out at right tackle. But yeah, it's the fact that Jokel and Ibushi, I think Ibushi can play both left and right guard. Jokel can play anywhere on the left, and I guess maybe even right guard as well. But yeah, it's somewhat alarming. I think, Adam, you made this point a few days ago that it's all changed yet again on the offensive line.
It's all changed, but at least I don't see how this can be worse. I mean, yeah, that is not saying an awful lot.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm really scraping the barrel there for a compliment saying that it's not going to be worse. As many people have said, we don't need this offensive line to be great. It just needs to be not shit.
Yeah.
And as long as it's that, there's enough in the rest of the team that can click to be good.
Yeah, and there's enough in the guy standing behind the O-line at quarterback who can get the ball out with that extra heartbeat, with that extra bit of space to manoeuvre and move around and stuff, because he is really quick at getting the ball out. I think there's been Pro Football Focus have posted stuff about it and all that a lot. But as Cameron says,
and we've forgotten what he looks like 100% healthy as well.
Yeah. If you go back,
if you go back to that Dallas preseason game, it's like a different quarterback to the one that we saw even in Atlanta when he was at his apparent healthiest of the season. Yeah. He's a different guy. Yeah,
completely. Even if you go back, don't go back too far though, a couple of years, because it is like it's sped up now. quick and decisive his moves are as well. But yeah, as back to Cameron though, that the Kevin King drum will be banged repeatedly for the next month at 26, please. But yeah, the Seahawks are unlikely now to add any more bodies to the roster with the kicker signing today, which is now just a month away. If you want another view on the Seahawks draft strategy, I am commissioner of the 2017 running of the Twitter NFL UK Mock. You can follow along at hashtag NFL UK Mock and at NFL UK Mock. Mark Christensen is the Seahawks GM this year, and two picks in, he is doing splendidly. We'll try and get him on in some form or another to break down his work with the Mock on one of our pre-draft pods. But moving on. True or false? Dwight, you deal with all this if you've been listening. I'll go, Adam. The Seahawks should sign Colin Kaepernick.
Oh, I mean, if only because it would annoy all of the correct people. Everyone that would be annoyed by Colin Kaepernick.
That was a bad moment to take a swig of my drink.
It was, yeah. The microphone's probably wearing it at the moment. But it would definitely annoy everyone that should be annoyed by things because they're wrong about things from a personal point of view. The worry about him is that his play is just not that great. I mean, I do think that there's a lot more to his non-signing than his play, and I think a lot of the activism stuff has spooked people, which is as pathetic really as it is laughable. But I do worry that even as a backup, is he going to be able to run an offense for, let's say, three or four games? I don't know. However, for strictly annoying the right people, I am all for it. So true.
I kind of do for some of those same reasons, but I think even if he's just to push and compete with Boykin over the summer, you need a third quarterback. You can't have Boykin and Wilson all summer. Just to bring him in, just get him in that building with the Doug Baldwins, with the Richard Shermans. How close and tight he is with Ricardo Lockett was clearly going to transcend into that locker room. He just seems to be a guy now, 3-4 years removed from, well, he's been humbled, let's to put it a different way. Yeah, I just think he'll be someone to at least take a look at. And I agree, I think the reason that he's still a free agent is far more than how he plays now, because he didn't have a bad season. It was a true abomination of a team. His best receiver was Jeremy Curley, and he probably wouldn't even make the 53 in Seattle. So, and at the same time, Mike Glennon's getting $15 million for a year after sitting on the bench for 2 years. So, it's a weird one. Adam?
Okay, fairly controversial one, I think. The NFC West is in the bag.
Health permitting, true.
Yeah, I think I have to agree with you. I mean, the Niners are definitely not going to be good. I think that's fairly obvious.
I really think the Niners are closer to worse than the Rams are, just with Shanahan. I think Shanahan's ridiculously good coach.
True, but I think they're two full draft class, another free agency class away from having a competitive roster. Yeah. I mean, they've given a lot of mediocre players a lot of money because they sort of had to spend it. Yeah. And I mean, the Rams, you just never know. I don't think Goff is a player, as I've said. I think on the first podcast we ever did, I think I slagged off the guy throwing passes to Kenny Lawler, realizing that was Jared Goff. And the Cardinals, one thing I will say about Schneider and Pete, you know, we can slag off what they do in free agency or whatever. If you look at what the Bengals were like 2 years ago, if you look at what the Cardinals were like 2 years ago, their Super Bowl windows lasted one season.
Yeah,
they had 1 year and they blew it. And for the team to have a window for such a long time and we're still going strong, I think there's at least one more year of the Super Bowl window left. That's really admirable. And it's so easy for these teams to just mess themselves up and implode from within, like the Bengals and the Cardinals have. It's pretty cool to see the longevity we've had of success.
Yeah, because especially on the Cardinals arguably have one more year of if everything clicks with Palmer and Fitzgerald and David Johnson and Patrick Peterson, although he's overrated, Tyrann Mathieu, and Chandler Jones, all that they have, but the Bengals, the window is shut on that. They've lost two of their linemen, they're losing more guys, they've lost AJ Green is the only receiver of note.
I mean, they lost Sanu and Marvin Jones last year, and I like Tyler Boyd, but they're just gone in that department. Yeah. And they've got a quarterback that needs more help than anyone else in the league. They're going to win, in my opinion.
Yeah, and they've got a tight end who seems to be breaking down a little bit. His injuries seem to linger a lot longer than you'd expect them to. But I think the Seahawks aren't going to be 16-0 or 15-1 or whatever next year, but they're not going to need many more than 10 wins to win the NFC West, I don't think, next year.
And yeah, agreed.
As you say, get into the competition and see what happens. But yeah, over the next few weeks, we'll try and get more stuff to you as the draft edges ever closer over on our Patreon platform, especially. We will continue to do the Facebook Live cast too. Adam, it's your turn next, sir.
I'm not sure they're ready for all my jelly.
we will also be trying to do a live draft pod during one of the days. May even do something on the other 2 days as well, in some form or another, Facebook or something. Make sure to keep listening and getting involved via all the usual means and methods. On social media, you can follow the chapter, Twitter, and you can get all our podcasts via at Seahawkers UK. We're on Podbean at thepedestrianpodcast.podbean.com. I think that's right. You can follow all us three at Stu_Core, at RossBell1984, although Adam doesn't do that apparently, and at Adam D. Nathan.
What? Do I not I follow Ross on Twitter?
Apparently not. It came up on the long lost podcast we tried yesterday.
Well, let me check this right away. I do make a point of not following Lee's fans, but... Oh, no, I don't follow him. What's his Twitter handle again? We'll give it another plug so I can type it.
RossBell1984, for those of you who don't follow him.
What a good... Oh, follows me. That's a bit embarrassing. Oh, well.
But yeah, there you go, Ross. That's that one sorted. But yeah, 2017 National Meet. Seahawkers National Meet, Nottingham, May 27th, 2017, the Canal House Bar. All the information on Facebook, the UK Seattle Seahawks fans. There's a nifty poster. Thanks to Gordon Curry for sorting that. And it's also up on ukseahawkers.com. Come and get involved. It'll be a good night of one or two beers, I think, on FA Cup final day as well. Adam, anything else to add?
I think we're all good. Yep. I'm looking forward to doing the Ross at the end.
The Ross at the end. Right, as Adam has just obviously pointed to me, that's all we've got time for. That's all we have for you this week. So this has been the Prediction Podcast, and...
Go Hawks! Nailed it.
That is going to do it. 12, they're bringing the trophy home. Your Seahawks, Super Bowl 49.